Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live right now around the world on WWRB 3.185, and we're glad to have you aboard here. We're going to get right into the message just as soon as we play you our introductory song of I Love Yahweh. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if people really love Yahweh, they would understand the truth, and the truth would make them free. You know, a lot of times people have decided to follow the Spirit, then a lot of times people decide to follow the flesh. Well, he said, I set before you good and evil. Ladies and gentlemen, he set you a Gregorian calendar through Mr. Pope Gregory. And a lot of these Seventh-day Adventists that preach against the lunar Sabbath, they follow a calendar that is nothing but a lie. They won't follow the scriptures of the eighth-day Sabbath. We got a $10,000 reward. Listen to this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. And we wouldn't tell you anything wrong here, because we've got a booklet on the lunar Sabbath. 80 scriptures where that the Sabbath was kept on 8, 15, 22, and 29. And a $10,000 reward for anybody to show us any other day. And these mealy-mouthed, rubber-necked preachers that hide behind some website and are not man enough to come on the radio and debate the message. Ladies and gentlemen, you know why? Because they have to get in the Word. We'll show them how the eighth-day Sabbath is. We'll show them how they kept the eighth day. Anybody that don't know that there's an eighth-day calendar don't really know anything about the Bible. They know more about tradition than they do the Bible. Well, we're not going to preach on that. We'd like to. We might start that message next Monday night, a three-part series on the true lunar Sabbath versus the Seventh-day Adventist. We'll see if that's what the Spirit wants us to do. We'll be back right after this beautiful song. Yahweh bless you. And I was stranded. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, part two, we have part two coming up here before you tonight, and it is the entitlement of America, B.C. We're so delighted to have you aboard here tonight, and we hope and trust and pray that Yahweh's treated you very good today, and we expect him to, because, you know, if you love Yahweh, the Bible said all things work to the good of them that love Yahweh. There is a way that seemeth right, ladies and gentlemen, and the political line is today that there's two groups of people in the world, Jew and Gentile. We know that there is a people that call themselves Jews and are liars. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible said. Then there's a group of people that claim to be Gentiles that are Israel. And Israel has lost its identity, and that's why we're doing a series on America B.C. Now, when people point their fingers and look over in the sandbox and tell you that that's God's chosen people over there, and that there's some prophetic prophecy going to come out of there, it's not going to be like they think. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel left there in 721 B.C., acknowledged by the Apostle James in the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 1. And he also indicated that there were not 10 tribes scattered abroad, not 11 tribes, but he indicated that there were 12 tribes. He said to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got this Christian bell box theology, all of it false, or at least 99% of it. They mix a little truth just to get your attention. And then while they've got your attention and you blur your head, they rock you to sleep with a tradition, and then they put a false doctrine in, and you wouldn't know when they slipped it in or took it out. Very seldom they ever take any false doctrine out. They just keep adding more to it. Did you know that we talked about the Vikings in part one? And in part two, we're going to talk about, as we close down in part one, we talk about America's Stonehenge. Now, it's located about 40 miles north of Boston, Massachusetts. It's 25 miles from the Atlantic Eastern Seaboard. And it is an awesome site built by, not the Indians now, built by a people that knew astrology and astronomy. They knew the precession of the equinox. Indians don't have anything remotely like this in their artifacts. And we're talking about the Indians that Columbus found 500 years later. We're talking about pre-Columbus here. We're talking about a people who built a stone circle, and of course we advertise and we advocate the building of circles, altars, if you will. And up there, it's an elaborate altar that would match in a miniature form the same altar that's built at Bethel in northern Galilee of the place they called Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, at that present day, there was a mighty megalith, if you will, a host of stones that were laid. And Joshua said in the fifth chapter, the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, that that altar is still there today. It had sacrificial places where, and we're not talking about, when we say sacrificial, everybody, Christians have got it in their mind, oh, that must have been pagans. Oh, you mean they were burning animals, Pastor Buddy, and smoking them up and burning them? Well, you know, people today, yet they use barbecue grills and they smoke their meat over fire. And that's all that the Levitical priesthood was all about, ladies and gentlemen. You've spiritualized the Bible a plumb away without any natural understanding. When you get back to the old path, these people that were there, approximately 2.5 million of them at this time, they had to eat. And they were commanded to eat where Yahweh commanded them to. And they offered up, they had a slaughter place. It was called an altar. It was called an altar of sacrifice. A sacrifice is a meal prepared for those who are doing the sacrifice. In this case, it was Israel, the nation of Israel, and 2.5 million people, and the Levites were the only ones chosen to the kosher kill, if you'll use that word there, let me use that word, kosher kill the animals before slaughter, preparing them for slaughter, and then they were given back to Israel, and they used several campfires to fix their meat, and it was just like a giant picnic, a company picnic, if you will. company of Headship of Mighty Ones is what I like to call them. And they had this central place that they worshiped and they ate and they performed the rituals that Yahweh had commanded them to do. So, you see, it's no big deal for us to find these sacrificial altars here in America. There's 27 sites around America, and I know there's more, but these are located and noted, if you will. And there's something unusual about these sites, just like up in the northern country, northeastern, if you will, on the Atlantic, 25 miles inland from the shores of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, these people that landed there were the Vikings. Now, these Vikings were the advanced party of the House of Israel. That's what I'm telling you. The Israel came in here prior to what we know as Indians. You see, you're not getting the right history here. With the Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492 and discovered America. That's a lie. That is a Judeo-Christian lie concept that's been written into the history books and permitted to be accepted as truth when it is only, like I was talking about, these people that advocate a Seventh-day Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot keep a Seventh-day Sabbath without having a beginning. And the people don't understand how the beginning, it wasn't a weekly calendar that they kept. They kept a monthly calendar. And the Bible would tell you that the beginning of the Moed, or the blowing of the trumpet, they started day one. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is set on equal sequence of the development of these phases of the lunar calendar or the moon when it comes to the first eighth-day Sabbath. After the new moon, you would work 6 days. You've got to work 6 days to keep a Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. That's for sure. But where you start time is actually in the Bible, over 80 references where we have this indicated that the Sabbaths were kept 8, 15, 22, and 29. $10,000 reward. Why don't these brothers, they call themselves brothers, we're not throwing this against anybody, then they turn around and then they say, oh, these false preachers that preach the lunar Sabbath. Well, if we're false, then that's a challenge to us to call them out. And if we have to do it by name, sooner or later we will, because we're not embarrassed about the gospel. We're set for the defense of it, and we will preach the gospel, and we will call them out by name if we have to challenge them to get them on the air. Now, they can hide behind some website and say that they've got some perverted lunar calendar. Well, every time I look on the wall, I see a Gregorian calendar, and you talk about perverted. That's the seventh-day calendar that these people are teaching to keep these times. Well, up in the North Country, there was a solar observatory made in the order of a miniature Stonehenge, which they have already proven. Now, the people from a university, as a matter of fact, I think it was from Columbus, Ohio State. They went over about 20 years ago, and they made some startling discoveries when they measured Stonehenge. Now, I told you that the little altar up here in 40 miles north of Boston, and on the Massachusetts border there, we have what is called a miniature Stonehenge. Now, we know that they could determine the start of the spring equinox. They could mark that day through this observatory, and it also had a place where that they sacrificed animals and ate those animals. Now, they didn't sacrifice and burn them, as most Christians have got this concept. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 12, you can read what Yahweh said about us sacrificing. He said anybody that sacrifices must eat the sacrifice within 3 days. Now, they didn't have any refrigeration. Now, today you could kill a beef and you could keep it for a year or so in the freezer and it'd be okay. But in those days, commanded to eat it within 72 hours after they killed the animal on the sacrificial altar where they drained the blood. They were orderly. And if you go to this site in Massachusetts, you will find exactly what Pastor Buddy's talking about. You will see scholars up there tell you. They have tour guides to tell you exactly what went on with an intelligent group of people. These were not savage Indians. These were ancient Israelites that had come in who were the same ones that built Stonehenge in England when they first came into that country. Now, the advance party of Dan wandered on up to the north, like I said, and they conquered the Northland, the only people on earth that could do so. And they fared greatly because they came back as far to the southern slopes of Russia, these Vikings, these mighty warriors, these Danites. Man, they're terrible. And they're awesome, praise Yahweh. And they returned back to their brothers, and they brought their brothers from the British Isles, from Scotland and Ireland. They began to transport these groups of people who had grown like the multitude of the stars and the sand of the sea, and they begin to transport them over the vast, mighty ocean of the Atlantic, and they brought them to the shores, eventually, of America. Now, as I've said, I am not an advocate of the Mormon doctrine. There's things in it that is wrong, but I do believe that if you read the history of the Mormon Bible about the 12 tribes of Israel that were in here, it is a very important document that has been overlooked, and then the Mormon Church has went into apostate condition to foster these ideals in a perverted way. And that's what I have, and I'm willing to debate any Mormon that wants to come on to give the Book of Mormon credit for being authentic and written in respect to a history of a people here. I give them that much credit. I sincerely honor Mr. Joseph Smith and his effort to bring forth a history, and I do believe it was divinely inspired. However, as all churches, all bell boxes, they've been forced through the 501(c) to compromise with the government. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to interject right here at this point to tell you that right under your nose, you church-going people are sitting back and letting the Obama administration, courtesy of the Bush, we've had so much of Bush that we was willing to cut the Bush down and get rid of him and burn him in the fire or whatever it took to get rid of him. 8 years was just awful, and I admit that. What we done, we jumped out of the frying pan of the Bush administration and jumped into the fire with Obama. And you see our nation going Marxist, Jewish, communist. The federal government is now putting their fingers into all the major industries in the world. They're going to operate a worldwide industry, ladies and gentlemen. Red China is already a Marxist, a communist government. Russia was actually devastated. And finally, they have come to their senses, and they're trying to recover from the shambles of over 65 years of communism. And ladies and gentlemen, America right now is on the fringe border of turning communist. We have now taken over General Motors, the government, you, the taxpayer. But who are you, the taxpayer? You're just paying the bill. You're the worker. That's the form of communist government that the workers perform for the government. Now you're no longer working in a free capitalist enterprise for the innovation, and Israelites are noted to be very inspired and gifted to make things and to produce things that are a blessing to people. That's what we're here for. However, we're being squeezed out of the equation, and the strangers have taken over this land, and the Christian church is approving it. They approve of race mixing, and that's wrong, and they approve of the government 501(c) agenda, that's wrong, and yet they keep condoning because they say, well, we're supposed to love everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, your fathers that came in here didn't love everybody. If there was somebody standing in the way of the land, the enemy, they killed them. They removed them. Well, if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I suggest that you do so to check out Pastor Buddy, Yahweh was not a God that loved everybody. He had enemies on this earth. And if you think those enemies have disappeared, you got another thing coming. Did you know that in the days of Noah, the same enemies that are working today, it's the same old spirits doing the same old thing, that Noah and his three sons and their three wives, and Noah and his wife, which was eight souls, they were righteous in their genetics. They were pure. They had mixed or mingled and crossed their blood. So they didn't belong to a 501(c) local church. Noah would have been exempt. He would have refused to walk in and participate in the race mingling, mixing, fornication, and adulteration of the bloods, which was what was going on in the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, ladies and gentlemen, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, what does it got to do with America, B.C.? Well, the same people that have made the same old mistakes, and there's nothing new under the sun, we're going to repeat once again what our forefathers built up. Then we have let the enemy come in, and they're going to tear it down. And just about the time that they think that they have the sons of Jacob, and that's the Aryan, Caucasian, Western European peoples, which we're down to 5% of the world's population. We are an endangered species. And the people that run our government right now are delighted that we are a vanishing breed. Just like it was in the days of Noah, Noah was only left with his three sons, his wife, and their three wives, which was eight souls. They were the genetically pure. They hadn't crossed and mixed their blood. And the same thing is going to apply today. There is going to be a remnant few that is remaining. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They will marry, and that's the problem, see, ladies and gentlemen. As long as we marry within our kind after kind, the Bible said. And he set boundaries according to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. And this is why that these people come into America to escape all of that Gentile foolishness that they had encountered when they crossed the Caucasus Mountains and came into Western Europe. They had to drive out the hordes of Gentiles. Now, these sheep were not Gentiles. They were the ancient Israelites that came into Eastern or Western Europe, up through the Caucasus Mountains and across into Eastern Europe and into West, and they settled. And now the remnants of those are scattered through Europe with the major body. Now get this now. England has already been devastated. That is the house of Manasseh. Now that they have devastated England and actually put them in handcuffs, spiritually, genetically speaking, and the strangers took over England with the Edomite Jews. You see, London, England is the financial capital of the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I guarantee you one thing, with that in mind, Yahweh is going to deal with this problem. And you know what the problem is, ladies and gentlemen? The problem is that he's going to have to intervene just like he did in the days of Noah. There was an intervention by. Now, who was that intervention by? It was by Yahweh and his angels. They intervened and they brought a flood in to the country. Now, by bringing a flood into the country and driving out the Israelites that were in the Tyran Basin, in that localized area. You see, Israel had got so few and so scarce that they were settled in this Tyran Basin area of Mesopotamia. And actually, the Ark saved 8 souls. Now, let me give you a scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. The same figure, or the like figure, even baptism, that saved Noah and his household. Water saved those souls. Water. The same thing today, figuratively, saves us. Not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but of a nature of a good conscience. So then, there is so few people. This is scary now. This is frightening. This is where I'm telling you there's only a remnant. There is only a few people that are baptized in Yahweh's name. So few. And the Bible said, straight is the way, and narrow the gate, and a few there be that find it. Now, what do I mean by just a few? Well, just exactly like I said. Straight is the way, narrow the gate, and a few there be that find it. There's only a few of the Aryan Caucasian. Many are called now, and few are chosen. Out of that, it's just a frightening small number. Remember, 8 souls in the first world. How many of you think he's going to get in the next one? Oh, you say, well, I know literally billions of people that profess Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assure you that those people that claim to be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus is a fictitious name that's invented by the whore church of Revelation 17. It's a Greek Latin word. A Hebrew God, Yahweh. If you go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, you'll see Yahweh introduced to his people. And 6,823 times, if you read the Hebrew language, you'll see the YHWH letters right there in your Hebrew Bible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, people have turned away. They've turned down this name. They've cast it to the ground. The Bible said the day will come that they will literally cast the truth to the ground and they shall prosper. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Buddy? Well, that means exactly what it says. That these people that came into America, B.C., they came with the intention of escaping the persecution of those heathen that were in Western and Eastern Europe and the barbarians that they had to fight. And they wanted to come to a country, a pristine country. They were told by these explorers like Leif Erikson and the mighty Vikings that came down from the North Country and crossed the channel through the St. Lawrence Freeway. And ladies and gentlemen, and I spoke to you about up in the upper peninsula of Michigan in the Great Lake regions, where they had literally came in, the Israelites, and they mined the precious metals and the ores out of the Great Lakes region, and we have evidence up there. And did you know that there are rocks and stones in the great state of Illinois and Michigan and Ohio, along the Great Lakes, all around the region of the Great Lakes? These artifacts are there to show you that the Hebrew and the Gaelic writing of those who had crossed the seas came over here. Now, we're going to specifically talk to you about a stone, ladies and gentlemen, that is awesome, and that stone is in Los Lumas, New Mexico. Now, this stone, as I have told you, matches the sum of the stones of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just turn there and look, you'll find that they plastered these stones and they wrote the law on these stones. Well, we happen to have one of those magnificent stones that came from the old country into the new Jerusalem. Not the old Jerusalem, where Yahweh was crucified. It's called Sodom. And then we got these false rubber-legged, goose-necked preachers. They said, oh, that's a holy place over there. That's a holy city. That's what Mr. Obama's over there right now. See, he's trying to bring peace to the Middle East. And ain't no peace to the wicked. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the seed of Ishmael, which is Abraham's sons, who still reside in that area, will have the sword in their hands forever, and that there is going to be a great slaughter by the hands of the Ishmaelites. We know them as Arabs today, and they're highly trained, devoted warriors, according to the Bible. Now, I'm not siding with the Muslims, because that's not what I believe in. They're just as lost as the Gentiles who are dumb. These are the heathen. Now, I gave you the key scripture of my message here for you tonight, which is in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep. And I told you where the apostles were commanded, Paul himself, being the one chosen out of season, ladies and gentlemen, to carry this great message to the lost sheep that was scattered among the heathen or the Gentiles. Now, the translators in error, every time they come to the word lost sheep and Israelites, they would just put in the word Gentile, because that's Strong's number 1484, which means an ethnic race, not races. Gentiles are all kinds of concoctions of mixed and mingled races. They're the heathen. But Yahweh differentiated between those in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, go only to the lost sheep. Well, these lost sheep made their way over to America, and they called this land the New Jerusalem, and embedded right in the word Yahrusalem, it's not Jerusalem, it's Yahrusalem. That's the proper spelling. It's city called by his name. His name was not Jerusalem. His name was Yah, Prince of Peace. That's what that word means. So then, Yah is embedded into that, right in the center of that word, Yahrusalem, the letters in English. Now, he must have known this. USA. He knew that in the time that the Messiah was to walk the earth 2,000 years ago, that they would be speaking Aramaic Hebrew. They weren't speaking Greek. They weren't speaking French. They weren't speaking English. And they certainly wasn't speaking Latin, as the whore churches apostatized the truth and changed the original language. Did you know all the letters of the apostles written in Aramaic? And we got these scholars that say, well, there's not one shred of evidence. Well, that's true. You know why? Because all of the evidence was destroyed by the enemy. Did you know the Bible says that the enemy will come in like a flood? But Yahweh would help the woman's seed, the true seed, and that he would give his people a place to hide. What's America all about? What's it all been about? Why did they come down through the St. Lawrence Freeway, and why did they sail into America? And why did they call that great place? Well, we're going to teach on part three. We're going to show you how the name America came about. And it's not taken from some Spanish Jew over there that they give credit like they give the Jewish explorer Columbus, by the way. And they see, you see, they've taken the history of the Vikings, which were Israelites. They didn't want to tell you about that. And some bold preacher like Pastor Buddy that's done his homework, he has to come on and tell you about it. He makes a lot of enemies in doing so. Oh, yeah, I've got more enemies than I've got friends. But I'd rather have a few friends that would protect me against all of my enemies. Who can do me any wrong? The Bible said, 10,000 shall fall at your wayside. Ladies and gentlemen, why should I fear? If Yahweh's for me, who can be against me? If Yahweh's against me, who can be for me? You think Yahweh's for the heathen? You think Yahweh's for the serpent seed? You think Yahweh's for the Gentiles? I don't think so. Was there a people that was called by his name? Yeah, embedded right in the middle of Yahrusalem is USA. Y-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. Yah. USA peace. I'll give you peace in America. That's just exactly what that word is telling you. And here we are, dumb sheep, fallen the goats of the Gentiles, and the master deceptors, which are those who claim to be Jews and are not. Did you know that they can get more sympathy in America than Pastor Buddy can? Did you know that the Antichrist can come in here and persuade Christians to call them the people of God? And I am a child of Israel. I'm an Israelite. I can preach the truth to you, and they'll call me a demon. That's why that the Bible said the day will come that they'll call good evil and evil good. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the truth has been turned around by amazing, smart, very intelligent snake people? They have two eyes. Oh, they're very powerful. They're very influential. They own all the papers in the world. Did you know that these people own 97% of the ideology that you believe, that it's fostered out of the mind of the serpent? And did you know that the Bible said that he would create a way that seems right? And Christianity has failed victim to the sly, cunning craftiness of the snake and the snake people? When they claim to be God's chosen people, when they claim to be Antichrist, and they deny that Jesus ever existed, if you want me to use that word for you, and you Christians will say, oh yeah, but you see, God blinded them so he could get to us. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on just here just a minute. Is that what it says in the 11th chapter of Romans? Do you think you need to reread that? Do you believe for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, that the house of Israel, which was the olive tree, became some other type of tree, and that he's going to graft this strange foreign tree back into the original olive tree? I don't think so. Because the Bible said he's going to graft the olive tree back into the olive tree. You see, it's like the mustard seed. It just won't mix with anything. You see, that's why that they came in here pre-Messiah. They came in here B.C. That's before the common era of the Messiah. And they were already at work establishing a place of rest for the people that would come. It would be a haven, America. And it's become a haven where people can rest and people can have peace. But that day's over with. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that we are now into a place where that we are victims of the circumstances of the media? You see, the dumb cube, that's called the eye of the devil. I mean, he comes right into your home. He brings filth. He brings pornography. He brings DVDs of deception. That's the demon's vision of demonic material. That's what DVD stands for in their sense, when they bring all these movies and these things. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that our minds are filled with filth? America needs cleansing, and that's what's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that the Bible says in the last day that Yahweh's going to send his angels, and you know what's going to happen? By sending his angels, he's going to turn this world into a bloodbath. And you say, oh, Pastor, buddy, God loves us. He just loves everybody so much. Well, listen to what the scripture said. The 24th chapter of the book of Revelation, or the book of Matthew, to the book of Revelation, over in the 22nd chapter, when he says it is finished. From that point, at a critical point, and I believe we've almost reached the stage where Yahweh said, will I find faith on earth when I return? Well, just like it was in the days of Noah, now those hordes that came in of Israel that settled this, that is in the Book of Mormon, to tell you about the history of the ancient Israelites that were here. You need to read it. And other truths as well, like the Los Lumas Stone in Los Lumas, New Mexico, that has the name of Yahweh three times embedded in the Ten Commandments. Three times his name is mentioned in Paleo Hebrew. Now, what's Paleo Hebrew? It's the ancient language of the house of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing can be added to it, nothing can change. And if these hold their peace, the Bible said the stones will cry out. And we've got the stones in America now telling us different from what your local preacher, your 501(c), he's nothing but a lapdog for the demonic demons that's running this nation. And it forced you to take a 501(c) oath to let anything that they can chase, pull, and drag into your pulpit, they've sent these preachers in to save them. They don't red, green, yellow, or white. They don't care as long as you mix together and become a people that the original creation didn't mean for you to be. And then they honor that. They honor the God of forces. The Bible said that they will thank the mingle their seed. Mingle, meaning mix. That's the word mix. Mix their seed. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what was happening in the days of Noah. And for sure, that's what's happening in our time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pick up next, this coming Friday night, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise. We're going to pick up where we have left off with part three of America BC, where I will go into the process of concluding part three of the wanderings of the house of Israel. We're going to give you some evidence that all up and down the Arkansas River, plumb up into the Colorado River, all the way up into the interior, the heart of our nation, we have the evidence of Gaelic language written on the sides of the walls of the caves. Now, do you think that that come from some primitive Indian? I don't think so. That came from the ancient Israelites that I've been talking to you about in America 1 and BC, America 2 BC, and then Friday night, America 3 BC, we will conclude with the journeys of the inland coming into the interior of this great nation and building it to what it is. And today I'm sad to say that we've let the stranger and the enemy come within our gates to tear it down. I don't make no apologies for them. I know that there's going to come a day when Yahweh's coming back with his angels, and he's going to say, this is what he's going to say. He's not going to come back to say, oh, I just love all of you. All of you people on earth are so wonderful. We just love you. And you're so marvelous, and I'm going to come in and bring peace. He's coming back in flaming fire, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible said he's coming back in flaming fire, and he's coming back with a sword. And this sword is going to be put to the neck of all them that wouldn't serve this truth, the ones that wouldn't acknowledge it. It'd be better for you people that are given to this message and reject it. It would be better for you never to known it than to know it and not obey it. So you've got no excuse for your sin. You can hide among them, and you can act like them. But the Bible said if you eat and drink with a drunken, that's the false doctrine that's going on in your bell box today to say, oh, God loves everybody, and let's all get along, and we're going to get peace on this earth. Did you know that when they call for peace, it's going to be sudden and swift destruction? You know what that Bible said? And it says Yahweh's going to say this. Here's what he's going to say now, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to me well here. Yahweh's going to say, and this is what he's going to say, bring them here that would not let Yahweh reign over him. Now, when you let Yahweh reign over you, he takes your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you want to be like him, and you want to join the family. Now, it's a family of one blood and one people. This people came from Jacob. Jacob came from Isaac. Isaac came from Yahweh, just like Adam came from Yahweh. He was a son of Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. You can't forget that. And this is the proper time to tell you why that the Israelites Yahweh knew this great land here in America. And we've let it dwindle away, and we've let the snakes and the goats run our country. And the wolves are sitting in the seats of authority. The judges, the federal judges, are nothing but serpents in black robes. They have destroyed our Constitution. They've destroyed our way of life. They're changing it right under our nose, and not one, hardly anybody, cries out and tells you about this mess that we've got ourselves in. Who's going to get us out? The angels of Yahweh. Listen, let me give you a prophetic scripture, and I'll close here. Yahweh said, as long as there's a sun and a moon, now the Satan is hell-bent on destroying Israel. And that's a fact. Mix them and mingle them and destroy them by taking away their pure blood and mixing and mingling them and destroying their belief system. Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, they can pollute the blood. They can take away the power of the genetics. These instilled ingrained And these were given to you by Yahweh your Creator. You're uniquely different from all the world. You're not a Gentile. You're just dumb sheep led away by the error of the Gentiles. You want to act like them, look like them, and talk like them, and take money. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've sold out for a piece of bread. And yet for that we don't have any peace. As long as there's a sun and a moon, there will be Israel. So don't worry about Yahweh running out of Israelites. They're going to be here when he comes back. Just a few now. But I want to be in that great number. If he comes tomorrow, I want to be stood up and say, hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many." And I appreciate those ancient Israelites, particularly the house of Dan, that brought us here in the ships of fire and deposit us here. And we've carved out the greatest nation that this world has ever known. And yet, in just a few short years, less than 60 years, ladies and gentlemen, we've given away to the devil. And is there any hope of reclaiming it? Only if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, which I doubt if they'll do that, because the Bible said that man will wax worse and worse, or evil and evil. And we're in that day when they call good evil and vice versa. So I'll see you Friday night, Yahweh willing. And what we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the very thing that we started with. We're going to close this out in part three of America BC. Where, like I say, we're going to go to the interior, and we're going to show you proof positive of the signs that the Israelites scratched out a long time ago and left it for a record. The stones are crying out, ladies and gentlemen. In a language that was spoken by your ancestors, brought it to America long before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and it's been so good to be with you tonight. And I love you very much, and I know that Yahweh has got a place for you if you would honor him, and if you would take upon him the yoke, and you would learn of him. If you would like to have this message in the three-part entirety of America BC, you can just write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. I'll take your call. Man, I like to stay up late in the morning and talk about Yahweh. I've done it all night long, praise Yahweh and praised him. You know, he's not only a God of the day, he's a God of the night. And he loves to be praised from morning, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. And then when the moon comes up, that wonderful, beautiful lunar Sabbath, we're going to start teaching on that Monday. Come Monday, I'll answer and refute all of this false doctrine that you hear about, these Gregorian hawkers that takes a seventh-day Gregorian calendar and tries to shove it down your throat. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to stand by and let them do it. We're going to take them to task, and we're going to take them to the woodshed, and we're going to bust their fannies and send them packing home to mama to get back under the skirt there where they belong. And if you would like to call WWRB 3.185, give Brother Dave a salute. Tell him what kind of a great job he's doing. He's a one-man gang almost at WWRB. He's one of the most interesting fellows I've talked to in quite a while. I'm really inspired when I talk to Dave. He's an unusual man of Yahweh, and he stands courage, and he puts out a great message. He don't let a lot of filth and things come on his, you know, like advertising and all stuff. He just wants the preachers to preach. There's several ways to view the elephant, and Pastor Buddy's just one part, and I hope that you can see something that I've said tonight, that you can view this part of the elephant that I'm trying to show you tonight. It's an enormous task. May you be blessed, and may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May he cause the sun to rise upon your head, and may you know that you're loved. Here by Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Call me tonight here at code 423-626-2172. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to go to our website, you'll have this. Brother Bob will have this message, Yahweh willing. He'll have it up and going for you sometime tomorrow. It'll be posted already, part two of America, BC. You can get it live online. And that's, just go to simply oneyahweh.com. That's all you need to get to our website. We've got articles galore posted in this truth that I preached to you tonight. And we've also got many messages of messages going back 5 or 6 years. And you're welcome to download them free of charge and play them. We appreciate you. Appreciate your support. If you've got a love offering that you could send Pastor Buddy and Yahweh could open your heart to do so, help me while time. You can't help me when I go up there, ladies and gentlemen. Help me now. Hold my hands up and I'll preach the truth, so help me Yahweh. And I'll come against all of those who are against you and against Yahweh's truth. Do you love him? Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, many blessings to you tonight. May the Father take a good liking to you. We'll see you on the other side when we stand up in glory and hear and say, well done, my good and faithful servants. I'll make you ruler over many things.